There are three things, probably more, but three things that I'm going to note about on today about the birth of St. John the Baptist. In the church, we only celebrate three birthdays throughout the liturgical year. The first birthday that we celebrate is that of Mary. Of course, we celebrate the Immaculate Conception on December 8th, and then wouldn't you believe it, 9 full months later, we celebrate her birthday on September the 8th, that Mary was going to be the chosen vessel, the daughter of the Father whom God has prepared to be able to send his Son into the world. The next birthday we celebrate, of course, is Christmas, the birth of Jesus on December 25th, 9 full months after we celebrate the Annunciation of the Blessed to the Blessed Virgin Mary on March 25th. And then today, on what day is it? June 24th, we celebrate the birthday of St. John the Baptist. These three figures, Jesus, Mary, and John the Baptist, are the only birthdays we celebrate. We get why Jesus is important. We get why Mary is important. Why is John the Baptist so important? He's the last of the prophets before Jesus comes into the world. So many prophets for thousands of years over the course of the Old Testament had been preparing the people of Israel for the coming Messiah. And John is the very last one. He shuts the book of the Old Testament so that the light of Christ can break forth into the New Testament. John is the last and the greatest of all the prophets because he shows us, he points us to Jesus. And we use his line every time we come to Mass, "Behold the Lamb of God." John never points to himself. He always points us to Jesus. The second thing worth noting is Elizabeth. She and her husband Zechariah had not been able to conceive a child for many, many years, that she had been grown old and was thought to be barren. That is, couldn't conceive or carry a child. And maybe at a point where they had grown hopeless, as many married couples experience today, this great desire to welcome a child into the world, that God in many ways provides a miracle for Elizabeth in her old age, that she will conceive, she does conceive. And we pray, hopefully it imbibes us with a certain hope that no desire is beyond asking, that God can do all things if we ask in deep and abiding faith. Elizabeth bears this child in her old age. But then we get something curious that happens, the announcement from Gabriel, which is the last thing, that Gabriel announces this great news, a news of great joy to Elizabeth and to Zechariah, but it comes with details. And sometimes God does that. It comes with little things that we need to obey along the way. And they're told that his name isn't going to be the name of his father, Zechariah. His name is going to be John, which we hear in the gospel. There's no one among your relatives who has this name. And Zechariah, maybe in his pride, he objects to the angel Gabriel, and his mouth is mute. So during this whole time of pregnancy, that as Elizabeth is carrying this child, John, her husband can't speak a word. And so we have to examine and contemplate, what does the silence of Zechariah look like? These 9 months of preparing, and he has to think back, like, was my ego getting in the way? Do I have to repent of the ways that I felt about this child? I didn't have a child this whole time, and now all of a sudden I have strings attached. I want him to be named after me. That Zechariah has to repent to the Lord, humble himself. And then when the time comes as they bring John the Baptist into the temple and they ask the priest there his name, there, of course, we're going to call him Zechariah, but Zechariah interferes, or Elizabeth interferes. Say, no, his name will be called John. And then they object again, but no one has that name. And then they ask Zechariah to write it on a tablet, his mouth still frozen shut. And he says, John is his name. And all were amazed. But that obedience to God, which is so cool, that obedience to the angel Gabriel that John or that Zechariah gives is so beautiful because from that moment, it says, immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke blessing God. He spoke blessing God. That obedience to the Lord in these small ways or in these big ways always leads to this freeing of the Spirit so that we can thank and bless God for the good things that he ushers into our lives. Not that we have concocted on our own, but that he has done. And Zechariah can look back on these 9 months with gratitude to see how it was, even though my mouth was debilitated, how it was that my soul became open to the Lord's will in my life. And at this moment, as he looks at his son, John, he's able to bless the Lord. In the same way as John the Baptist carries out his ministry, he gives us the instruction that Jesus must increase and we must decrease. There's a real humility that John the Baptist brings to his ministry, brings into the Christian life. He never points to himself. He always points us to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world.